Backseat Box Office, episode number 169, for the weekend of December 13th through December 15th, 2013.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing good.
So, did you catch the results last week of how the box office did?
I did see how the box office did, and I do know how the results turned out.
Okay, good.
Why don't, you know what, let's just start with you. You know, why don't you tell us how those top five picks came out, being as those were your picks.
All right, hold on a second. Lane will probably have to cut this. As I realized, hey, we got to read the top five as far as the numbers. Okay, here we go. So, the results for last week's box office. At number one, we have Frozen, that grossed $31.6 million. At two, we had The Hunger Games Catching Fire, that grossed $26.2 million. At number three, we have Out of the Furnace, that grossed $5.2 million. At number four, we had Thor the Dark World, that hung on for $4.8 million. And at number five, we have Delivery Man, which grossed a whopping $3.7 million. And as I look at how deep we need to go...
Mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8.
Okay. At number six, we have Homefront with a gross of $3.4 million. The Book Thief with a gross of $2.62 million. And at number eight, Best Man Holiday, which had a gross of $2.6 million. And I think that's as far as I need to go.
Yeah.
So, looking at how all of our contestants did, looks like I am going first and saying, or not going first, but I had the only 25, so...
Yes, you did.
So, yay me. I had Frozen, Hunger Games, Out of the Furnace, Thor, Dark World, and Delivery Man. Next, we had two 22s, Kugron and BD both had the same picks. They had Frozen first, Hunger Games second, Out of the Furnace third, Thor Dark World fourth, and Best Man Holiday in fifth, came in at eighth, so they each lost 3 points there. Next we have Lena. She had Hunger Games in first, so she lost 2 points there. She had Frozen in second, she lost 1 point there. She had number three and number four right, Out of the Furnace and Thor Dark World. And she had Homefront at five, and it came in at six, so she lost 1 point there. And next we have Nick.
With a voicemail.
With a voicemail.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with Hunger Games. Two, Frozen. Three, Thor. Four, Out of the Furnace. Five, Best Man Holiday. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nick. And I'm zoning. Do I read his picks or his results?
Yes.
Okay. You don't
have
what?
I said you don't have to, but okay. Usually she does.
Oh, okay. So Nick had Hunger Games at one, so he lost 2 points there. He had Frozen at two, so lost 1 point there. Thor the Dark World at three, so he lost 1 point there. Out of the Furnace at four, and he had 1 point, or lost 1 point there. And at number five, he had Best Man Holiday that actually came in at eight, so he lost 3 points there. And now that I'm looking at it, we also have two other people that have the exact same results, Father Beast and Mrs. Beast, that each got 17s. And next we have Art.
Yes, me. What a beating. I put Hunger Games in first, and Frozen beat it out, so that cost me 3 points altogether. I had Thor off by a place, costing me a point. I had the Best Man Holiday on my list, costing me 4 points. And I had Out of the Furnace in fifth when it came in third, costing me another 2 points, leaving me with a total of 15.
Okay. So, how about you tell us how the Arts House ended up?
Okay. The Arts House. We all went with Inside Llewellyn Davis. Who, yeah.
Yes.
It made a 101,353. And then, as far as not host, Father Beast went with that animated show Pumbaa that we talked about ever so briefly. Pumbaa made $515.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that brings the current scores to Lena with 5 points, you with 5 points, me with 5 points, Father Beast with 3 points, and BD with 3 points.
All right. So how about we go to the leaderboard? Based on last week's picks, Kugron is now first, or has probably been in first, with 21.9, depending on how we're going to round. Yeah, we'll do 21.9. Tad is in second at 21.5. I am in third at 21.3. BD is right behind me at 21.2. Nick is in fifth with 20.7. Art is in sixth at 20.4. Lena's in seventh at 20.1. Mrs. Beast is in eighth at 18.1. And Father Beast is in ninth with, I'm going to say, 17.9.
Yes.
And that's the leaderboard. So how many movies do we have coming out this week, Art?
We have two. One that is going to absolutely explode onto the screen, and the other one that's going to probably just, you know, kind of pop like a pimple.
Oh, okay. There's a good visual. So, which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, I say that you should go first and you take The Hobbit, because I have a special place in my heart for Medea.
Really? Okay. So, the long-awaited, by at least this family, the second Hobbit comes out tomorrow, which is recorded on Thursday. So, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, is currently 74% on the tomato meter, has an average rating of 6.9 out of 10, out of 114 reviews, 84 fresh and 30 rotten, and out of 101 and 191 users, 99% want to see it. So, here's the description. The second in a trilogy of films adapting the enduringly popular masterpiece The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, continues the adventure of the title character Bilbo Baggins, Martin Freeman, as he journeys with the wizard Gandalf, Ian McKellen, and 13 dwarves led by Thorin Oakenshield, Richard Armitage, on an epic quest to reclaim the lost dwarf kingdom of Erebor. PG-13, 2 hours and 41 minutes, directed by Peter Jackson and written by a whole bunch of people. Fran Walsh, Philippa Boyens, Guillermo del Toro, Peter Jackson, and, of course, Mr. Tolkien. So, are you going to see this weekend?
Maybe. I would like to, but I also don't want to deal with the type of crowds that might be happening. Mm-hmm. So maybe a late show at some point.
Yeah, we might be doing a Sunday morning, Saturday morning type thing. Some of the more obscure names, or not really obscure, but maybe obscure characters but famous people. Stephen Colbert is in this movie. Matt Smith is in this movie. I think that's it as I'm looking at it.
Who is Stephen Colbert playing? I'm looking at the list and I'm not seeing...
Lake Town Spy is what, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. I figured it'd be somebody, you know, digitized. He was just doing a voiceover.
Oh, and Stephen Fry is playing the Master of Lake Town.
Okay.
Interesting.
Hugo Weaving, all the way at the bottom of the list, without a credit. Like, we don't know who he's playing.
Well, you know what's funny is I was thinking maybe... Like, elves have to go on the bottom for some reason, but we have Evangeline Lilly, who plays Toriel.
Yeah.
She's fifth billed. Also have a new actor playing Bard the Bowman.
Yep. Galadriel is up there. Legolas is up at the top. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they stuck him at the bottom like that. Maybe he just plays a really, really small part,
Yeah, I don't know.
Quick appearance? Who knows? Okay, moving on. That is going to be everybody's number one pick.
True.
Okay, but our other movie, Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas. Oh, no reviews yet on Tomato Meter. That's a bad sign. 87% want to see it out of 24,718 user ratings. Medea gets coaxed into helping a friend pay her daughter a surprise visit in the country for Christmas. But the biggest surprise is what they'll find when they arrive. As the small rural town prepares for its annual Christmas carnival, new secrets are revealed and old relationships are tested, while Medea dishes her own brand of Christmas spirit to all. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 45 minutes. Directed by Tyler Perry. Written by Tyler Perry. Starring Tyler Perry as Medea. And, oh, Chad Michael Murray as Tanner. Larry the Cable Guy. Alicia Witt.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people here I don't know. How about yourself?
Yeah. I have yet to see a Tyler Perry movie, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
You know what? I do enjoy them. I have to say. I have an aunt who very, very much reminds me of Tyler Perry. Or at least Medea, not Tyler Perry. The character that Tyler Perry portrays as Medea. The over-the-top, boisterous, crazy aunt, who will just as soon hug you as slap you upside the head if you get out of line. That was my Aunt Carmen.
You know, it's funny, they show no reviews, but at the bottom it says there's one critic review.
Ah.
So I clicked through to it, and the one critic review, that's rotten, by Dustin Putman from DustinPutman.com. And kid looked like a teenager. I don't know how he got on here. But here's his little blurb. A hackneyed story that soon speeds its messages to the viewer while devising just plain wrong set pieces, including a run-in with the KKK and the crucifixion of a bratty little white girl. So we have that to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that ends the movies coming in wide release. So now we can get the picks. And I think Mr. 25, which is me, will go first.
Yes, you will, sir.
Okay, so the default number one will be Hobbit 2. At number two, we got to go with the Medea movie. And I'm probably just going to lay up and stay with the next three from the previous week. Frozen at number three, Catching Fire at number four, and Thor at number five. And for my arts house pick, I know what's probably going to do better because of all the Oscar buzz, but I'm going to pick the other movie that I'm hoping will do well. I'm going to go with Saving Mr. Banks.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
And those are my picks.
All right. Well, I will now make my picks, and I will say ditto.
Wow.
Because you actually didn't. I thought you were going to go Frozen, The Hunger Games, and Out of the Furnace, because that would have just been bumping everything down.
Oh, excuse me. So I improvised.
Yes, and so I was like, oh, and then you called out Thor at the end, so I had to say ditto. And in going against the Oscar buzz, because I had not heard about the Oscar buzz, I was also going with Saving Mr. Banks. So who's Oscar buzzing out there?
For American Hustle, which looks, you know, it just how everything comes in waves, and, you know, Argo did so well. This is a, you know, kind of a, I hate to say a period piece when it's the 1970s.
at this point, that is a period piece.
Yeah. But critics are raving about Jennifer Lawrence's performance. And I believe this is the same director who did Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
David O. Russell. His name, just his name attached to the movie, probably has some Oscar people watching it. So we'll see.
And, I mean, look at that list. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Robert De Niro. I say that's got a real shot.
Yeah.
It's going somewhere.
Yes.
But I hadn't heard anything about it. I had heard about Saving Mr. Banks. So we will see what happens.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think Tom Hanks has a cigarette in the movie because he's a stickler for details. Because I think Walt Disney enjoyed a cigarette.
Right. Well, everybody in that time frame did.
Yeah, true. All right. So that concludes the picks portion of the podcast. So unless I'm mistaken, we can move into the less formal part of the show and talk about movies we've seen recently.
Yes, yes.
So, Art, what have you watched?
So I've seen a number of things. I saw Horton Hears a Who, the newer version with Steve Carell and Jim Carrey. And I liked it the first time. The next five or six times, it continued to degrade slowly. But it was a good enough movie that I was not absolutely crazy by the time we had to return it to the library. I also watched Rise of the Guardians, which was actually a pretty good movie. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was a good movie to watch with the holidays coming up. And then just today, I watched Despicable Me 2.
First time?
First time, yes.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. Not as good as the first one. But overall, I liked it a lot. I thought they did a good job of revisiting the characters. I thought they used the minions a lot more, which, you know, obviously most people really enjoyed them a lot in the first movie. And, I enjoyed it. I am happy to have that on the shelf.
Yeah, what'd you think of the villain?
I thought the villain was pretty funny.
Okay.
And I waffled back and forth. The first time they saw him, I was like, oh, he's the villain. And then I was like, oh, no, he's not the villain. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, yeah, he's definitely the villain.
Yeah, so. we enjoy it. The kids basically said the same things that you did. They enjoyed it, but the first one was better.
Yeah. Nah, it was a better sequel than I would say Monsters University was.
I would agree with that.
So, and then obviously, we talked a little bit before the show, but I watched the mid-season break Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it left me totally wanting more, and can't hardly wait till the mid-season break is over.
Now let me ask you this: Would you have rather them started in January and not have the break?
Oh, that's so tough. I don't know. What do I want to say here? The whole rating system is really, I feel like it's outmoded, because it's not like most people are watching through cable. What do the ratings even signify anymore? Because I think they pretty much know what everybody's watching at any given moment if you're watching on cable. So I don't know how much the ratings even factor in anymore, you know, because that's what the stuff is all scheduled around. It's scheduled around sweeps and taking these breaks and stretching out their, you know, their 22 weeks to cover the two periods when the televisions are, you know, being most monitored, blah, 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 blah. And I just don't understand it anymore. I don't know. I don't get it. If it's they're breaking to get caught up and because they're filming and writing, but it just seems like, you know, the breaks are so kind of set. You know, everybody films, then stops, then films, then goes, and I don't know. I like what they're doing over on Netflix, where they, you know, they produce their series. Obviously, they're shorter, so yeah, is it the same kind of a thing? Because Orange is the New Black was 13 episodes. What's the other one that I watch? House of Cards. I don't remember how many episodes that was. That one dropped all at once. We were talking about the four Marvel series that are coming out. They're going to drop all at once, you know, and people are just going to mainline them. You know, should they? I mean, I could even see Netflix, you know, daily distribution, weekly distribution, you know, where they just drop them one by one over the weeks to, you know, get people to come over. Because I guess technically you could subscribe for a month, watch, you know, all the shows, and then unsubscribe until they drop something else that you want. You know, are people going to go through that to get around paying the entire monthly fees? I find it useful enough that I just keep it all the time. But are there people out there who subscribe only when something new they want to watch drops and then drop until the next thing comes? I bet that will become a thing, you know, if they continue to kind of drop these shows all at once. But we'll see where the technology goes and what they start to do. But that's something where they have specific numbers. They know exactly how many people are watching every single episode. And I think they have most of those numbers, you know, with cable, but I don't know for sure.
It's not something they probably would like to do because they want to have the, you know, I think one of the goals is synergy with the Marvel movies.
Right.
So they needed to have, you know, new episodes being aired when Thor came out. And then when they come back, whenever that is, you know, because I think Captain America 2 is in March.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's going to be a tie-in there, too.
Right, but that's not okay. That's good synergy, but that's just also they're following the standard format that television follows. You know, so is that which came first? You know, are they picking the dates that those movies are releasing based on the television schedule, or are they just playing into the television schedule because those are the dates the movies are releasing?
Well, they like having mid-season replacements.
Right.
Some shows are just going to run in January, or you know, some are going to start right now because obviously just the mid season run or the hiatus just fell, so
right.
Now they have other shows going on. But you know, I was just curious because I know 24 and Lost they used to do that mid season break, and it's better for continuity for me as a viewer when they just run them all together.
Yes.
Because I remember season 3 of Lost, they did 6 episodes, and then they did 18. You know, I don't think they started until March or February or something like that.
Right.
But anyways.
Yeah, I really think these are artifacts of the Nielsen rating system. I think they just haven't, you know, completely gotten past them yet in a lot of ways.
True. Any other movies?
No, that was it. How about yourself?
Okay, so I was off last Friday, and I had it all set that I was going to go watch Thor: The Dark World, but I didn't because I had my DVR 4% staring me in the face, so I decided to watch some movies that I've had on my DVR for a long time. So I watched two movies. The first movie was The Descendants, George Clooney,
yes.
Shailene Woodley. I enjoyed it, but I thought it wasn't Oscar worthy.
Okay. That got a lot of buzz.
Yeah, it did get a lot of buzz. Right. And it's a beautiful movie just because it's in Hawaii. And it, you know, maybe it's because of Clooney or, you know, it's a very dramatic storyline having to deal with, you know, infidelity and, terminal illness. But, you know, Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just thought I'd enjoy it more. You know, just one of those things. You know, it suffered from, you know, post-hype, you know, buzz, I guess.
Right.
Or, you know, kind of like after Argo got nominated for an Oscar, everyone said, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. But if
right,
you watched
right.
Argo before, you thought it was great. That kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that happens.
The second movie, I finally got around to watching 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
So the reboot with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
Yes.
I enjoyed this movie a lot more just because I really wasn't holding it to a standard of a realistic cop movie.
No.
I enjoyed it as a comedy, and I was pleasantly surprised by Channing Tatum. He made me laugh more than once.
I really did think that movie was very funny. I said it when I talked about it a few months ago. I was very surprised. As much as people talked bad about that movie, I thought it was funny. I mean, because it was what it was. You know, you turn off your brain and enjoy it. You know, and that's really what it was. I liked a lot of the good inside jokes and the references, and they were totally, they knew what they were doing and they were laughing at themselves. You know.
Yes.
They said, come laugh with us as we laugh at ourselves. That was not, you know, I really enjoyed it.
I'm a big fan of Rob Riggle, who played the teacher.
Okay.
So it was nice to see him in a, because he's mainly a comedic actor, but it was nice to see him getting work. So that's really all I watched. I'm so behind on TV, I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, my DVR is not much better. I think it's at like 13%. And you did remind me, I did start watching Dogma, but I didn't get that far into it. So I'm going to pick up on that the next time I get a chance.
How far are you on the league?
I just watched the Bob-omb Man episode. Or no, actually the one after that, Yoga Boya. Yoga... The one about the meat in the cup.
Oh my god! Okay, gotcha. When they're urban foraging.
Yes, the
that
urban
one.
Foraging.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they're not washing the hands, and just an animal. I am not an animal. Yoba Goya.
Yeah, you're getting into, I think, into the run of that show where you start seeing some misses as far as jokes are concerned. Not everything. Well, to me, not everything is a home run.
Right. I don't know. Right now, it's firing on all cylinders for me. It's
okay.
Hilarious. So I'm still not missing any beats. But I'll let you know. I mean, if I see something that I was like, eh, that was kind of a miss, I'll let you know. But right now, I'm still thoroughly enjoying it.
Okay. Good. Good. You know, it's funny that that show appeals to a lot of people that don't have any involvement with fantasy football at all.
I don't like football at all. I don't care. I could care less, and yet I still find it really hilarious. I mean, I understand the game. I have people. I know people who, you know, who watch a lot of football, so I understand what's going on. I know some of the names, and it's just, I just like the comedy, like the sense of humor that they have, like the things they kind of tackle. It's more about their interaction as friends.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, you could be the best friends, but you're in a fantasy league. You want to make the other person cry.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That was my group of friends back in the day when the guys I gained with during high school and for a short while afterwards. I mean, we had my buddy Moose, he had a little half chihuahua, a little rat of a dog. That this is terrible. I'm going to say this. I am a terrible person. I participated in this. I now look back and I have my regrets. But at the time, this is how things went down. His dog sleeping in the bed with him, and between his legs and the blankets, and the dog got wrapped up, and the dog suffocated and died.
Oh my God.
In his bed, him partially responsible. We rode his ass till he cried. As high schoolers, we were terrible, terrible. Any sign of weakness, and we tore you to shreds. That's the way we were. And yeah, I did that. I did that, and I'm a terrible person. And I regret it now, but as a teenager, I did it, and I laughed.
Yeah, that's just stupid kid stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right. So, now
On
I guess...
On that note...
Oh, yeah. Now that we've brought it down, thank you, Buzzkill Art.
Yeah.
Let's go to movie news. Hopefully happy movie news. Art, what do you have?
Okay, well, I talked about this a while back. A movie called Knights of Badassdom.
Yes.
Has a release date.
Yes. Lay it on me.
It will be in theaters on January 21st with a video on demand release coming just a few weeks later on February 11th. I don't remember if I talked about it at the time, but, I mean, we all know that Dinklage is in it,
mm-hmm.
but, we've also got Summer Glau and
yes.
Steve Zahn. So yes. I'm even more looking forward to seeing this movie. So I've got a buddy. He's really into these kind of movies, you know, the gamers and just everything in that kind of
subgenre.
Gaming related. Yeah, yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff is a little more indie, you know, fan movies, blah, 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 blah. I know this is more high production value, but I told him about it. He like immediately wrote it down and he's waiting. So I don't know if we'll go to the theater on this or if we'll just video on demand it and do it, you know, as like a gamer's night, yeah. Watch it all together, get all the guys over and just watch it. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So what do you got?
I was just looking at it and it closed. So why don't you do another one and I'll try to find what I was going to talk about.
No problem. Avengers, Age of Ultron, rumor says Don Cheadle's Roddy will be part of the cast. Rhodey, sorry. Yeah. I'm reading and not thinking.
It's okay. I've been doing it all night, so go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm just, I saw that and I thought it was cool and still just really looking forward to the next Avengers movie. And glad to see that we're going to get some more... Iron Patriot, Iron, what did they settle on?
Well, first he was War Machine, and then he right. became Iron Patriot and Iron Patriot. Man 3.
Right, right, right. You need to go back to War Machine, but yeah, so, I don't know, looking forward to that. Nice little rumor out there. Can't wait. So, what yeah. do you got? Or should I throw another one out there?
Well, I was just going to say, I hope, how many people are going to be in the next Avengers? Because they're adding a lot of new people.
Yeah, but they've already shown they can do a large cast and do it well. You know, they had a lot of scenes where they, you know, a lot of different things going on, or they break them off. You know, these three are over here doing something. These two are over there doing something, you know. Because it was a big movie. What was this? 2.5 hours. You got plenty of time to break them out and let them do their own little thing. You know, and then bring them together for the big battles. I'm not worried about it at all.
Okay. All right. So I found what I was going to talk about. If you remember way back, I talked about that the Weinstein brothers got a crap load of money for the first Hobbit.
Right.
Okay. Even though I remember the article saying that they, you know, they had a piece of Lord of the Rings, and I guess they... negotiated the first Hobbit, rights to the first Hobbit. Right. Well, I guess they're going to court and saying, hey, we still have, we're involved, or we get a share from the second part too. So, you know, this is another rich getting richer story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this is a business deal that happened back in 1998.
I hope they don't win. I really don't. I think as far as like, yes, you know, you licensed to do a movie. It was their decision based on, you know, market forces to change it into a trilogy, based off, I think, things like, you know, splitting the last Harry Potter book or splitting the last Twilight book or, you know, things of that nature. Because I think most people really wanted this to be one movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to find out if they, you know, if Peter Jackson did a good job of adding new material.
Right. Well,
like Toriel. I guess she was in the book.
Oh, okay. I didn't, yeah, that's right. I'm thinking back, I'm like, I was going to say I didn't read all of The Lord of the Rings, but I read all of The Hobbit multiple times, and yeah, there's no Toriel in there.
All right, so your turn.
Okay, I have two more things, but they're both very, very minor. One is that I saw, I think, for a Rio 2 trailer. So Rio 2 is coming back, and I only mention it because of how badly it plagued, how badly Rio plagued the backseat box office when it originally aired.
Yeah, I think right now Jonathan Holmberg feels a disturbance in the force because we're talking about Rio.
Yes, absolutely. So, and the other thing I had was very minor. It was just a little news blurb about 7 utterly bizarre Golden Globe nominations that were then slighted at the Oscars. And the only reason I even noticed it was because of the first movie on the list was Glenn Close in 101 Dalmatians, which I just mentioned, like, what was that, 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah.
She was nominated for a Golden Globe and then got zilch nada over on the Oscars, which I said at the time that was really, I mean, it was a stellar performance as Cruella de Vil from her. So, yeah. And so, that's it for me.
Okay, I have one more thing, and this is kind of like, this is about the box office down in Mexico. And I guess people are going to the movies down in Mexico, and apparently for this year, they're seeing an 11% growth. And I just thought it was interesting that the year's top earner in Mexico were kind of the same here. Disney's Iron Man 3, Universal's Despicable Me 2, and, you know, product of Mexico, Instructions Not Included.
Okay.
And Instructions Not Included actually came in number one ahead of the other two movies.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's always interesting because I always thought, you know, as a lark or for a lark, you know, we can try to predict, say, like the top five in Great Britain for a weekend. And it's completely different than here.
Right.
And
right.
We would probably, I would probably, or you would probably win the week with a six. So we're going to stay over here, I think, for the time being. So, yes. So, there was that. Anything else?
That's it on my end.
All right. Well, this concludes this episode of Back to Box Office. Unfortunately, Elena wasn't able to join us, and we will miss her, and we hope to hear her next week.
Why did you even mention it? I'm sure nobody would have noticed.
Well, you got to be like that, Art. She's a valued member of the team.
Because I'm a troublemaker, and she's going to edit, and when she gets to that point, I'm sure I will get a tweet or an email or something. Facebook wall. and I like little presents from Lena, so that'll be nice.
Okay.
I'll know when she's finished editing.
Just like if you had a pet, those same little presents. Okay. So, everyone, thank you for listening. Art, it has been a pleasure as always.
Yes, sir.
Any parting words for the listeners?
No, just go watch a movie.
Yeah, go watch a movie, everyone, and we will catch you next time.
Good night.